Fact Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Fact Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I love to hear it. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Fact Talk. Since when did you have a movie named The Drama? Aren't they all dramas?
Well, that is all this movie is about. So today, folks, we are talking about the new Zendaya film, The Drama.
Yes, right.
In this film, Zendaya plays a 30-year-old, very shy woman who's really in her first ever relationship. She has a meet-cute with older man, Robert Pattinson, who is art expert, works at a museum, yeah. And he's a very introverted person also. And they fall for each other, and eventually it leads to a proposal for marriage.
That sounds like a rom-com to me.
It starts off as a cute film, but it takes a very dark turn during a dinner party when they are all drunk, and they are all asked to say the worst thing they've ever done in their lives, and it goes around the table, and finally it comes to Zendaya, and she announces something that she thought about doing. She didn't actually do it, but she thought very seriously and took steps to set into motion something really, really awful, but then backed out at the last minute. And this causes everything about this wedding to start falling apart.
Christopher Barkley is the director and writer. Got something up his sleeve. He doesn't mention at all one of my favorite playwrights, Henrik Ibsen.
Yeah, you have a very interesting take on this movie, Jim.
I did read it.
And right. And talk about that. I think this is fascinating.
Well, we start out contemporarily with Don't Ask, Don't Say, with the matter of honesty. The army about being gay.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Don't ask, don't tell. Don't ask, don't tell. Question about honesty among relationships is intriguing to me because Ibsen sparked my thought that it wasn't the best thing in the world to be totally honest. That Ibsen posited we needed a basic lie. The character in his play demands that everybody be honest, and he's just ripping through relationships and families. He's destroying them because he's demanding that they be honest. This is a variation. I realize he's not even probably thinking of Ibsen, but I sure was when I saw this because Zendaya's character, Emma, is ill-advised to have spoken about this.
Well, and the movie makes it a very convenient excuse that they were all drunk at the time. And I liked your Ibsen angle. Ibsen came into play when I watched the Jim Carrey movie Liar, where he's cursed to tell the truth in response to everything he says.
Good one.
And, of course, it destroys his life.
Yes.
Because there are things that, as people in normal society, we just don't talk about, true or not true. We just don't talk about. Now, I had a little different take on this, and it probably spoiled the movie for me because my immediate reaction was to think of Abbie Hoffman in the Chicago 7 and his favorite line during the trial where he says, "I didn't realize I could be put on trial for something I thought." Hmm. And he's touching upon a fundamental in America, which is that this is a country where we have freedom of thought. We have the freedom to think whatever we want without thought police coming into play, or it's like in PR, in the People's Republic of China, where they have indoctrination programs to teach you how to think. In America, one of our founding freedoms is we can think the most heinous things, but if we don't do anything, we haven't committed any act.
And isn't that true in life? I think we want to assume that, at least in civilized society.
I think it is true, but that becomes a challenge when you're watching this movie because this movie doesn't really have a story. It has a lot of exposition. These four characters, and each one has a different take on what Zendaya has said she thought about doing. One of them is extremely hostile, her maid of honor, and wants to basically just ruin the wedding. The other, the maid of honor's husband, is very permissive and says, well, you know, she thought about it, but she didn't do anything. So
I thought Elena Hamm was almost stole that show.
She was fantastic. And, of course, her husband, her soon-to-be husband, Robert Pattinson, is
Zendaya's
partner is very supportive of her, but it begins to eat away at him.
Yeah.
And it slowly builds until we get to the second act, which is the worst wedding since Game of Thrones.
I have to tell you, I think that the film does a terrific job about the angst of getting married and moving up to the thing that I thought was always excessive, the typical American wedding. And all the preparations that go with it.
And all the people who want to have a say in it. And all the lack of control that the husband feels through the whole process. It's all very nicely done there. It's just incorporated into such a dark storyline that it's hard to take this as a example of a typical wedding when all throughout the film, all anybody is thinking about and talking about is this heinous thing that Zendaya's character didn't do.
And you have all kinds of nefarious characters who are supposedly friends, and you, starting out with Elena Haim's character, which I thought was really unusual. Usually there's a supportive person in that role, and she goes after her for this.
And that's the very basics of this film, is that it's not a story. It is how each of these three people react to Zendaya's announcement, and how in each scene, we're getting their reaction affecting Zendaya's character and her fiancé's character. And so, and that was my problem with this, is that I think these characters are somewhat two-dimensional. They were put in there specifically to fill the role. This is the one who hates her for what she's done. This is the one who's very tolerant and says, well, she really didn't do anything. This is the one who says he thinks it's okay, but then it starts eating away at him. And she's this helpless person that spouted out something stupid when she was drunk, who has to now have her life transformed by it.
Yeah.
And it never really goes beyond that. It just gets worse and worse and worse until we get to the wedding, when it couldn't be any worse.
It is so true. And I love the way Borgli depicts that wedding. It is all of our nightmares about such a ceremony. And I've been through it, but not an elaborate wedding like that one. But it's still, there's something ominous about it, like waves about ready to crush you.
As if you're waiting for something bad to happen. You're almost hoping something bad happens so that there's a difference, a diversion from this carefully planned event.
I don't know how many brides are very happy with the photography. They're never usually that happy. And this photographer's something of an imp, for goodness sake.
Well, and the photographer plays the person who has no clue what's going on. She's the outsider who's trying to figure out why this is going so horribly wrong. Just from the looks. And that's one of the great scenes in this movie, is when she's taking the photographs and Zendaya and Robert manage to convey expressions on their face that clearly show there's a growing gap between them. And the photographer picks up on that. And it's really nicely done, because there's almost no dialogue
in that
scene.
Stand there next to the woman you love.
Yeah.
And I love the way she gives her directions, because she knows something not good. She's seasoned enough. She knows something's not good.
Something's not, this is not the usual wedding photographs.
Now, one thing that fulfilled my notion of what a rom-com used to be, not now, but now, was the dance sequence. I thought this was a really beautiful scene. They're being trained to dance for the wedding. There's something elegant about the two of them. There's something that removes them from the trauma.
And they're focused on the dance, and when they're rehearsing the dance, they're not thinking as much about the bad thing.
Yeah.
And of course, they had started rehearsing for the dance before she spouted out during this drunken party. So this is a moment of almost like seclusion for them, where they can focus on something else.
All right, K.G. Klein, I hope we haven't dissuaded anyone from having a marriage ceremony.
They build this movie, like most Zendaya films, as a erotic film. And folks, Zendaya does not do erotic films. I have never found anything titillating. This is very similar to the film she did a year ago about the tennis players.
Oh, yeah, which Challengers.
Challengers, which, oh, this erotic film. No.
Thank you. That's a good one. I avoided that when I saw the trailers.
These are not erotic movies. This is not Jennifer Lawrence. There's going to be one or two sex scenes, but they're very tame. And I really get tired of them portraying Zendaya as this extremely kinky, erotic actress, because it's titillating, but it never lives up to expectations. I like her in Dune, where she's a member of a very large cast. She's a very competent actress. She does well in that supporting role.
She does.
But when they make the movie around her and build it as a titillating film, you're going to be disappointed.
Pattinson is much more interesting as a much more interesting
character actor.
Yeah. All right, K.G. Kline, what do you recommend about The Drama?
I like this film. I didn't love it. It's competent. It's well acted. It has some good scenes. I'm not sure it's a good date night film. It could open the door for some rough discussions.
Very good. I think with caution should you bring somebody. But in looking for a substantial movie, this one is a winner currently. Ken, we're talking about The Drama. Can you think of any? I'm thinking of this really turns out to be a dark rom-com.
Well, I wasn't holding back when I said this ends with the worst wedding since Game of Thrones. There's fewer victims, but the nastiness is just there as well. The first movie that comes to mind is Jim Carrey's Liar Liar.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. And we have far more serious movies, well, less serious maybe when you look at Crazy Rich Asians.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a cute one.
And there's a wedding.
Well, we can skip ahead to My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
And there you go.
Which is a movie all about an awkward wedding.
You're right, but not the invective we have here. No.
This movie is a departure because it is intentionally dark, it is intentionally disturbing. And again, my issue with it is the idea that in America, somebody could be persecuted for thinking something bad. That's the basis of the whole film, is that it takes a lapse of reality and says, if you say to somebody, I thought about doing this, they're going to react horribly as if you had actually done it. And I don't believe that's the case. I believe that we live in a country where freedom of thought is so ingrained and so essential to our democracy. And we all do this. The idea that we've thought something really horrible is going to cause the destruction of your whole life.
And keep in mind, most of the people in this film don't know what she has done.
There's a core of four people.
Of them who are responding not well to her admission. And I'm thinking again, beside Ibsen and the claim of the ideal, which is that you have to be honest about everything and then destroy everybody in between, the idea of honesty is the best policy was something that I grew up with. And I believe both Ibsen and this one challenges me in that.
Honesty is the best policy in many situations. I think certainly in like business transactions and in especially dealing with people that you're very close to. But there is a limit to honesty. And what you should not go around spouting out things that you are thinking, because there's a question whether we even have that much control over what we think. Thoughts come into our heads that we don't have control over. Going around telling people about them may not be the best idea, but I don't believe it challenges the idea of honesty being the best policy.
And wouldn't you agree that even in business situations, it may not be best to be blunt?
Oh, definitely not.
There's a certain amount of diplomacy in almost everything we do in life, and this brings it out, puts it in relief for me. That's what I enjoyed about this film.
Nobody wants a blunt doctor.
I know. The whole idea of marriage, and I've done it a few times, not anymore. I've invested in marriage a couple of times. The anxiety that comes from actually doing it, getting married.
Getting married, yeah. And not marriage itself, but getting married,
and
the process.
Married, and the whole process.
And I think it's even more interesting to study the husband's role in the wedding than it is the wife, because often the wife is in complete control. The color of the everything, the color of the dresses, the flowers, this is often picked by the wife and her mother. And the husband, in most cases, is along for the ride. He gets to pick the best man. He gets to have his bachelor party. But beyond that, he better not cross the line and say, those flowers are not very good, honey.
Am I correct that she, Emma, Zendaya's character, is instrumental in jettisoning their DJ?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Zendaya's character is a very passive character. And that's what makes the problem for this relationship is they're both introverts. They're both very passive. And they're allowing this announcement to eat away at them internally. Now, very external for the maid of honor. And the and her husband, the best man, is the
me
one that's
his name. Is that Mamadou Athey?
Yeah,
playing Mike, and he's very good.
Yeah, I like him. I like him.
Low key.
Yeah, I like him in the movie because he's the saving grace. He's the one sane person. Another one that's very, very interesting should be called out is the co-worker of Robert.
Amisha.
Yeah.
Played by Haley Gates.
Yes.
I want to ask you about that incident. Now, this parallels maybe some of the intricacies of the plot itself. At one moment, he is indiscreet with her.
Yeah.
And yet she's completely compliant.
She's completely fine with it.
I know. And yet it's on him.
It
never
is.
Really is on her. That is, it gets known that he had put moves on her. And she was, as you and I agree, she was compliant. She pulls up her dress and she's ready to go.
She is ready. But she is in a relationship, and she speaks before that in her moment of exposition that she had been unfaithful to her previous boyfriend. So we know that there is a history of infidelity with this person.
Yes, yes.
In Robert Patterson's case, he's engaged and he's going to be married in just a few days, and he's about to commit an indiscretion because he is so distraught over what his wife has said.
Yeah, well.
So the motivations are very awkward. The situation is different for him than it is for her. But it does make one of the more interesting moments in the
film. It does. In fact, she's kind of hot.
Yeah.
And we can accept.
It kind of makes up for the titillating moments we don't get with Zendaya.
I love that point. You're quite right. She is such a beautiful woman, and yet she's not really that dynamic.
Well, I don't think any directors allowed her to be that dynamic, or she may have in her contract that she can't do the things that they're billing the movie as having her do.
All right, here's one, which we all know.
Okay.
When Harry Meets Sally.
When Harry Meets Sally, one of the great, great films of romantic comedies.
All right. So in that, do we have any darkness in When Harry Meets Sally? It seemed to be pretty light stuff.
It's all very light stuff. And what we see, it's helping us to laugh at love. Nobody, John, I'll tell you, nobody, not to go away from When Harry Met Sally, which is a terrific film, nobody ever did that better than Neil Simon.
Okay.
And if we jump back to one of my favorite movies, The Goodbye Girl.
All right.
A movie that came within a hair's breadth of beating Annie Hall for the Best Picture.
Okay.
A movie where Marsha Mason did take an award. I've watched the two movies in the same week, and there's no way you can say one is better than the other. That's a flip of coin. Annie Hall, The Goodbye Girl.
Yeah.
But The Goodbye Girl is a great, great example of the perfect rom-com. The setting is, it starts out in a very distressing situation. Her boyfriend has walked out on her, left her alone in this apartment, and in walks the Richard Dreyfuss at the peak of his career, at the peak of his ability.
Sure.
It is just a powerhouse of wonderful comedic acting. Nobody could have ever done that movie like Richard Dreyfuss did.
Another one that's pretty popular, that Tom Hanks, Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle.
You see that as another perfect rom-com?
That's another perfect rom-com.
Yeah.
There's an almost any rom-com with Hugh Grant, I will say, is another perfect rom-com.
Isn't that?
Whether it's Notting Hill or Bridget Jones' Diary.
You couldn't have cast him in this one. It would not have been dark.
It would not have worked. The dark. No, he can't. Even when he played the serial killer in this horror film last year,
he played it with such
a twinkle in his eye that you liked the guy. But yeah, I mean, and even to one of his most quirky ones, which is, what was the one set at Christmas time? The Hugh Grant movie where he plays the...
Love Actually.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that movie. Yeah, and that is another one with a powerhouse cast, with Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson, Hugh Grant, just everybody at the top of their game in that movie.
One that that hardly fits the mold, but is one of the most beautiful romances on film, I thought was The African Queen. That evidencing the difficulty of being in love, of falling in love.
That's a movie about falling in love in about the same way Raiders of the Lost is a movie about falling in love. You know, there's so much else going on in that movie. But you can make an argument that Marion Ravenwood and Indiana Jones is one of the great love stories.
How about Dr. Zhivago?
Dr. Zhivago, certainly.
Not a comedy, of course.
Not a comedy by,
anywhere near it.
Yeah, the Russians can do comedies, but that is not one of them. Zhivago is one of the great romances.
And going way back, Roman Holiday.
Roman Holiday.
And Audrey Hepburn rarely is anything.
Sabrina.
Yes.
And one of my personal favorites, love this movie, is Bringing Up Baby.
Is that Cary Grant?
Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn in basically the film that created the screwball comedy. Screwball comedy that's come out stands on the shoulders of Bringing Up Baby.
Boy, do I love screwball comedies, mainly because it's all about language.
It's about language and timing.
Yes.
Because that was the moment when, before this, Hollywood had a rule that you could not go over another character's lines. So a character spoke, then the other character spoke, then another character spoke. When you get to Bringing Up Baby, they are talking all at the same time. And it shocked audiences at first because nobody had ever done that. You did it like on stage. People generally didn't talk over each other in the 20s and 30s on stage either. But Bringing Up Baby comes out and it changes Hollywood forever because people are shouting at each other at the same time. And it turns into wonderful comedy that Lucille Ball latched upon. And much of Lucy's shows can also owe their history to Bringing Up Baby.
Well, you know my favorite romance, not comedy, is Casablanca.
Great film. How can it not be a great film?
And what appeals to me most is that relationships and marriage and so on frequently has such a bumpy ride that is possible, as it was in Casablanca, for the two lovers to diverge.
And that's a war romance.
Yeah.
And war romances, like From Here to Eternity, war romances are also always a struggle. And I think the epitome of how dark that can be is On the Beach. Gregory Peck is the
On the Beach. Yeah.
The post-nuclear war film where Gregory Peck is the captain
wonderful.
Of the submarine.
I love that movie so much.
He is in love, and the last scene is he has to take the submarine out and scuttle it.
You bet.
And as the radiation is hitting to Australia.
It's my vision of marriage.
Oh, God.
or of love. The great people will cite this one as a great romance. Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind is also a giant of romance. And so many great films have owed their legacy to the romance of Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
You know, and it's the only four-hour movie that gets shown regularly. And deservedly so. I mean, it's a magnificent film in every aspect, very deserving of all the applause and acclaim that it's been given, beautifully acted. Is it as influential today as it was back in the 30s, 40s, 50s? Perhaps not, although it did produce the greatest scene in the Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, really, did it?
There was a takeoff on the Carol Burnett Show of Gone with the Wind, and this is the greatest Edith Head dress ever made. She comes out, and the dress has the curtain rod across her shoulders, and it is essentially the curtains that Carol Burnett is wearing. And to this day, that shows up regularly in television histories as one of the greatest costume moments in comedy.
Well, look at K.G. Klein. You and I are moving toward the lighter comedy, the lighter romance, and yet we have a pretty dark, as dark as it can get.
Zendaya is never going to do a film with Hugh Grant.
The drama. What do you recommend?
I recommend cautiously seeing it. Don't see it with a date. Don't let it influence you. Don't think that the reactions that people have in the film should be typical. If somebody says that they thought something, we're in America. We're allowed to think what we want. And that is not the story of the drama, and that is where I take issue and offense with the films. Don't come away thinking that if somebody tells you they thought something horrible, you should persecute them for that. We all do. We all do at one time or another, and that is our right, is to think good things and bad things, but not to be persecuted for the things that we've thought.
Yeah, and I take as an allied thought is that honesty is the best policy is questionable. And in the case of romance, it may be very dangerous.
Pick your battles.